In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Please be seated. As we have just heard, Jesus begins this morning's gospel with the words, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Within this verse, Christ alludes to the desolation of Jerusalem. When the Roman general Titus besieged and conquered the city in 70 AD, which at the time had been controlled by Judean rebels, those who survived fled to the hills and mountains, seeking refuge and safety. But if you listened carefully, you'll notice that the gospeler Matthew, concerning this event, adds the words in parentheses, "Whoever reads, let him understand." Some biblical scholars commonly understand Matthew's words to be directed towards the early Christian flock as an encouragement to them. However, Christ does not make such a distinction. In fact, he, in the same way that the prophets do not make a clear distinction between the two comings of the Messiah, because they are two acts of the same divine drama, Christ, in the same vein, does not separate the destruction of Jerusalem from the end of the world, since the chastisement of the Jews is a symbol of the eternal punishment which comes for all who reject him. You see, Jerusalem had sealed its fate long before General Titus sacked it. No, Jerusalem had been fracturing for years. From the moment the Pharisees plotted to arrest Christ, the city would never be the same again. And with each cruelty that they heaped upon their Messiah, and the kiss of betrayal by Judas, the scourging, the mockery, the all-out rejection by the mob, the crown of thorns, the extreme humiliation as they spat in his face while carrying his cross, the nails thrust into his hands and feet. In each of these acts, Jerusalem was ripping itself apart at the seams. That which was sent into the world to uphold it and mold it together, the only thing, mind you, which could have saved it, was the very thing they hated the most. All of this Christ foresaw when he approached Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19 and wept over the city, moaning the words, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now are they hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you, and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Jerusalem was ignorant. They were foolish, and above all, did not want to be saved, at least by the likes of Jesus Christ. But how are these things relevant for us today? Well, as I previously mentioned, Christ does not distinguish between the destruction of Jerusalem and that of the end of the world. And herein is where Jesus' words in this morning's gospel have meaning for us presently. Now, I want you all to think really hard and search your souls. And above all, I ask that you be honest with yourself is I ask you this one thing. Are you ready? Imagine, what would be his reaction if Christ were to approach you in the same manner with which he approached Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19? What would he do? What expression do you think he would carry on his face? Would he rejoice over you for a job well done, having remained faithful to him in all things, having preached the gospel to friends and strangers alike, having endured the onslaughts of sin, and yet never wavering from the faith, and remaining pure and obedient to his holy gospel? Would that be the reaction that we would garner from him? Or would he lament and weep over what we have become? Would he recognize himself in each of us? Or would he see a broken vessel, shattered by the cares of the world? If that be the case, it's not too late. It's not too late to change. For we have the Holy Gospel to guide and to direct us, to point the way back to Christ, if we have indeed strayed away from him. Christ, through his gospel, admonishes you not to venture out into those places in the world that can cause you harm, neither listen to those that aim to deceive by false teachings, doctrine, yes, lifestyles, and the like. But Christ commissions you to remain steadfast in all things. Secure his truth within your heart and abide in him. For there will be people, and there will surely be those material things which shine and glow, which have been created by the devil as a diversion to keep us away from abiding in Christ. And they can all cause us to lose our way, but only if we allow it. And do not underestimate Satan's ability to lure you away, for he can render unto you the same destruction that befell Jerusalem, lest you think he can't. But this doesn't have to be. As James says in his epistle, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. For now, my friends, is the time for harvest. My friends, if this world were marked by the hands of the clock, the 11th hour would now be upon us. The great tribulation has already begun. Therefore, we must approach each day that we are given with this thought, and say to ourselves every morning as we arise that today Christ is coming, and to live each day with this in mind, so as to properly assure our citizenry in heaven. This morning's gospel account closes the temporal cycle of the liturgical year, which began on the first Sunday in Advent and concludes this morning. Ever since Advent, the church has been concerned with the preparation of the two comings of Jesus, the Messiah, his birth being the deployment of his mercy, and the second, the rendering of his justice. The church never wanes in her thoughts on these two events. The church is consumed by it. For if Christ came once at his first coming to save us, it was that we might enter heaven. He comes again at the end of time to bring us home. If we truly desire that heavenly homeland, now is the time to prepare your heart. And so wait on Christ each day. With each passing breath, may it be Christ who is praised. As Paul in his epistle states, walk worthy of God in all things, pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, which is the result of those who faithfully await the second coming of their beloved Savior. For all of us have been united by the blood of the eternal Son, Jesus Christ. And we are commissioned, together with the saints, to wait for him through prayer, through acts of mercy, through giving to the poor, through our humility and graciousness to others, through giving up ourselves to his service and walking before him in holiness and righteousness all our days, giving thanks to him as we joyfully proclaim Christ has come in his mercy, and he will come again in power and glory. Christ will come again. Christ will come again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.